hates those things. He loathes those things. He dislikes those things because they pull us away from Him and they pull us away from others. They make discord in the lives of believers. And one of those particular things that he talked about was pride. So that's what we're going to spend today talking about. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about pride. And I will tell you that one of the scriptures we have cited in your bulletin this morning is James 4:6. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Some of your translations will say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the Bible is going to tell us over and over and over again that our lives should be exhibited by humility. We should not live a proud life. And one of the reasons is, frankly, because we have nothing to be proud of. We have only God to be thankful for everything we have. And when we realize that, it creates a humble spirit. It creates a sense of humility. I love what C.S. Lewis said that we put in your bulletin this morning. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Our thoughts should be, you know, that old acronym goes, our thoughts should always be to Jesus first, others, and then ourselves. So we have a choice in life. That's why the screen gives us that choice, to the right or to the left. Are we going to live a proud life, or are we going to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and live the way that God wants us to live? So what we're going to do today, if you will, turn to Isaiah 66. We're going to read verses 1 to 2. And we're going to understand how exalted God is, first of all. We're going to understand why God should be so exalted that when we start to look at ourselves, when we start to view ourselves, we should understand that it is an amazing thing that God loves us, that it is an amazing thing that He looks down upon us with pleasure. David said in one of his Psalms, why do you even consider me, God? What is it about you? And God's answer is, it's because I love you. And that is His answer to us each and every day. But I want to start off with understanding how awesome God is. So stand, if you will. Let's read Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. It says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Just get that picture in your mind, if you would. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand is made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my words. Be seated. So this is God telling us, look, you can't put me in a house. Yes, you're going to build me a temple. You'll have a temple. We are a living sanctuary, as we sang. We are the temple of God. That's where He wants to live. But you can see in that verse, what kind of person does He want to live in? What kind of person is He going to be able to use more and more and more? And that is a person of a poor and contrite spirit who trembles at His word. So poor and contrite is a way to say humble. It's not, oh gosh, I'm so downtrodden and poor. It is a spirit that does not think of ourselves first. It is a spirit that puts others first behind Jesus. It is a spirit that makes sure that the relationship with God, which is the most important relationship, is right. And then everything else will flow naturally from that. And it is a spirit who trembles at God's word. And that just means that you take it seriously. It changes your life. You know, James was writing to a bunch of people in the first century, and James said, well, you believe in God? That's great. He's being a little sarcastic. Not as bad as Paul, but a little sarcastic. He said, that's great. Even the demons believe and they shudder. His point was, even the demons are impacted by hearing God's word. So it's not just up here. It's not just hearing it. James said, be ye a doer, remember? Not a hearer only. So James is saying the Word of God should impact our lives so much so that we tremble at the Word of God. We are impacted by the Word of God. So God's Word tells us that He's going to oppose the proud. Anybody in here want to volunteer to be opposed by God? I didn't. No hands going up there, right? How many of you want the second part of that blessing, though, but God gives grace to the humble? There we go. That's where we need to be. So we need to look and ask God's Word and say, what is it that makes a person proud? What is it that makes a person humble? How should we act in a lot of situations? And the Bible answers all of these questions. So I've written out seven situations in your outline today that we're going to go through, and we're going to see what the situation is, and we're going to see how God gives us examples in His Word sometimes. Sometimes He just point blank tells us how we're supposed to act, but usually He does it by example. And I just want us to understand that it is very, very important that we look at our lives and we say, am I living a proud life or am I living a humble life? Most times in the Bible, the word humble is not a noun. We think of it as a noun or an adjective. Oh, that's a humble person. Most times in the Bible, the word humble is a verb. Humble yourselves. Humble before the Word of God. It is an action and an attitude that we take before God and others that shows we don't think we're the most important person in the world. Hard lesson to learn sometimes today. But I want to go through these scenarios and talk about how God wants us to act in each and every one. Give you the contrast that God's Word gives us so that you can look at your life and say, am I living the way God wants me to live? Remember, He doesn't want pride in our life because it ultimately causes discord among the church. That's the ultimate problem God has with it. Satan's sin was pride. And we know how that worked out for him. So we do not want to follow in Satan's footsteps. We want to follow in God's footsteps. But each and every time we have a situation, we have a choice. We have a choice to act one way or the other. So I want to give you these, get you thinking about these, so that you can decide beforehand, before you are faced with these situations, how am I going to respond? If you wait until you face the situation, it may be too late. I want you to think about, God, how would you want me to respond in this situation today? So number one, we want to ask, how do these two groups, the proud and the humble, deal with other people's problems? And we're going to see that the proud focus on the failures of others, but the humble are overwhelmed by their own need. So turn, if you will, to John chapter 8. We're going to read verses 3 through 11. And this is God's example of pride and ultimate humility. Because we know that we do not want to focus on other people's failures. God does not want us to focus on other people's failures. Some people just wait for people to fail. They get glee when people fail. That is not a Christian attitude, particularly towards a brother. We should be praying for all of our brothers, but those people, some of them, they are just looking for an opportunity to talk about other people's failures. And one of the best examples is in John 8, and it goes like this. Then the scribes and the Pharisees, the proud ones, you can think about that right off the bat, brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they set him in the center, set her in the center of these people, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? They said this to him, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus has raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You can see the pride, the excitement that the Pharisees and the scribes took in this. This was probably a set-up incident, by the way, because the law of Moses said that you were supposed to bring both the man and the woman caught in adultery to be stoned, but they didn't follow that part, did they? They brought the woman, humiliating her, parading her sin in front of Jesus and in front of the other people. They put her in the midst of this group. It literally means in the center of a circle of men, and brought her sin out in front of everybody. You think that woman was humiliated? And you're going to see a lot of verses about the scribes and the Pharisees today. They embodied pride. They were, "We are better than that. We don't do things like that." You're going to see all of that. But this is the way pride deals with other people's problems. Pride wants to capitalize on them, to make oneself feel better than that other person, to be holier than thou. And God's word says no. The humble are overwhelmed by their own needs. Look at this woman. She doesn't say very much. In fact, she says three words. No one, what's that next word? Lord. She knew who Jesus was. She knew her sin. She knew that she deserved to be stoned. She knew that she was breaking the law. But she also knew that this Jesus, this one she now calls Lord, was the only one who could save her. And he did. You know, we would love to know what Jesus was writing in the dirt. Most people think it was the sin of all of those men that were standing around trying to get them to stone her. We don't know. But something convicted them in their hearts, in their conscience, about what they were doing, and they all walked away. Jesus humbled them. But this woman demonstrated humility. She had no choice to be humbled. But she demonstrated humility when she put herself under the Lord's care and guidance. We have to do the same thing. We have a proud nature by nature. We have to be willing to say, "Lord, I put my will under yours. I submit my will to you. I will surrender my will to you. And you do with me what you want to do." We should recognize that but for the grace of God, we would all be failures in life. We might have money, we might have great jobs, we might do all kinds of great things, but we would be failures in the ultimate issue of life. If you're raising a godly child right now, that's where God wants you. If you're in a job where you're witnessing to people, that's where God wants you. He puts you where He wants you. And He wants you to be humble and submit to Him so that He can use you. Remember Isaiah 66, "The one upon whom I will look has a humble and contrite spirit." So that's how people deal with other people's problems. We always need to be understanding that people have problems and not make light of them. Not parade them in front of others, certainly. And not focus on their failures. Everybody has something in them because they are a child of God that is worth saving. Right? Every single one of us. So another scenario we can look at is, how do people deal with service? That's number two. So in the second one, the proud want to be served, but the humble serve others. And we're going to read in Luke chapter 18. So I want you to turn to these verses and make notes if you want to. I was told last week I went a little too fast, so let me share with everybody the universal symbol for parks, please slow down. It's this. A couple of you know it and have used it. Just tell me to slow down. But I want you all to read these verses so that you understand that these are not my opinions about proud people and humble people. This is what God says. So the proud person often wants people to cater to him or her. They focus on what they can get out of church. They want to be acknowledged. They want to be lifted up. They want to be put on the pedestal. And they want to be seen. And I want you to think about this Luke 18. You guys know this parable. It's a story about a Pharisee again and a tax collector. Now, the tax collector was seen as the scum of the earth, as you guys know. And obviously, the Pharisee was seen by himself, particularly, as the righteous in Israel. That's what they taught. They taught that they were righteous by their works. So in Luke 18, verse 9, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You see, that's what happens when you get the attitude that you're righteous out of pride because of what you've done. You end up despising others because nobody's quite as good as you are. That's wrong. We are all God's children. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the story that Jesus tells. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers." And then he turns and he says, "Or even as this tax collector," pointing that tax collector out in his mind. "I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat on his chest, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." So you get that prayer. You're standing in church and somebody says, "God, I thank you that I'm not like this person. I'm not this tax collector. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not a swindler. I'm not all these things. I thank you, God, that I'm not like that." And you'll notice he was praying with himself. He wasn't really praying to God. He was praying with himself. Why was he doing that? Because all he's doing there is building himself up. That's what pride does. I want to be built up at the expense of somebody else. He didn't come to church to be served. He didn't come to church to worship. He came to praise himself. The tax collector came to church to be saved. You can translate what the tax collector said as, "Lord, apply your grace to me, a sinner." He said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." It's the same word as, "apply your grace to me." That's what each and every one of us ought to be praying when we walk in these doors. Apply your grace to me. That ought to be our prayer morning, noon, and night. Because then we realize it's not about us. It's not anything that we do. It's not anything that's going to lift us up. It's going to lift Jesus Christ up. And that's why we're here. You know, the humble are called to be like Jesus. Another verse, Philippians 2, 7 through 8. Just write that one down. Paul's describing Jesus, and he said, "He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross." Jesus was willing to humble, the verb, to take himself down from Creator God of the universe, Master of all. I mean, think about how awesome God was. Who's going to build me a footstool? Who's going to build me a throne? I've already done that. That's what Isaiah's been told. But this Jesus decided he was going to humble himself so far that he would come down and be hung on a cross for us. That's service. And that's the attitude that we're called to have. That's the attitude we're called to demonstrate, this kind of humility, by serving others. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for another." Pray for your military. You understand that's what they're doing. They're willing now to lay down their lives for the safety of us and those we are sworn to protect. That's service. Third thing that we talk about, that the Bible talks about, is people, how do you deal with being in the spotlight? The proud, they want to be recognized. The humble, they know they're unworthy. The proud want to be recognized, and the humble know they are unworthy. I didn't put this one in there, but take notes in your bulletin. Listen to Luke 14, 8 through 11. And this is Jesus giving another example about humility versus pride. He says, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, don't sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you has to come and say, hey, give your place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited instead, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in presence of those who sit down at the table with you. Here's another verse. This one's going to be familiar. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is Jesus over and over and over again talking about self-exaltation, pride versus humility. Now the verses I did give you, Matthew 6, 1 says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. You got your reward on earth. You were seen. You were puffed up. Verse 16 talks about how we act when we fast. It says, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. So they kind of act like, oh gosh, I'm so hungry, that kind of thing. He says, don't do that. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They got their reward when people said, oh gosh, he looks like he's fasting. And God says, I don't want you to act like that. I want you to take the lowest seat in the house. If you get moved up, that's great. But you take the lowest. You don't think that you should be in that front row. Don't think you have to be up front. And the real point here is, the humble are thrilled to be used by God. That's all they care about. The humble are thrilled to be used by God. They don't want the attention. They don't want the recognition. And Jesus once again gives us a tremendous comparison of these two groups of people. In Matthew 24, he's talking about during the time of the tribulation, but he compares these two groups. So turn here, if you will, Matthew 24, verses 31 to 45. And he's going to compare the sheep, which are the children of God, to the goats, which are the children of wrath. When Jesus comes again, he's going to separate these two groups, and he's going to talk to them about an opportunity they had, a decision they had, to act out of pride or to act out of humility and service. And this is what he says in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Yeah. Then the righteous will answer him, and you got to listen to the way this is worded. The righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Said, so we don't understand what you're talking about. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. You see, these people, the humble, they didn't think that they were serving Jesus. They thought they were serving lowly man. But in doing that, they were serving Jesus Christ. They didn't do it for His recognition. They didn't even think He was going to know. Because they're shocked at this revelation. When did you do this? When did we do this? That's the right attitude. But He says something to the left, and almost the exact words, but it's a different tone. Listen to this. Then He will say to those on the left hand, those are the goats, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer Him, saying, listen to this, "Lord, when did we see you?" The emphasis here is on the word "you." "When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." You see, what these people are saying, the proud are saying, is, if we'd have known it was you, what would we have done? We would have done it. But we didn't see you, Jesus, in any of those situations. We only saw a regular, common person. If we had seen you, oh yeah, we'd have done all this stuff. We'd have put clothes on your back. We'd have gotten you out of prison. We'd have been to visit. This is the difference between the proud and the humble. The proud are only going to do things when there's something in it for them, when they can get recognition, when they understand that it's glorifying in part to them. They want to be recognized. They want to be seen. The humble are proud to serve. I guess that's a bad word. The humble are excited and willing to serve in the background. The humble are willing to be never recognized. The humble are willing to do what God wants them to do, knowing that they are storing up their treasures in heaven where moth and rust are not going to corrupt those treasures, and not here on the earth. The proud are doing those things on the earth. So we have a choice each and every time. Do we act out of humility? Do we act out of pride? Think about that attitude. Words are almost the same. The emphasis is just a little bit different. You know, "Lord, when did I see you?" Versus, "Well, when did I see you?" Big difference there. Big difference in the way we look at life. Number four, the fourth type of relationship or issue that we have, how do these two groups deal with responsibility? Well, what if something goes wrong? The proud are quick to blame others, but the humble accept responsibility. It is hard to get a proud person to admit a mistake. They can't see the mistakes they made. Sometimes they will just start pointing out the mistakes of others. They'll be those finger pointers we talked about last Sunday night. You guys will remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked about these very both kinds of people. Matthew 7, verse 3, He says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" So we have 2x4s in our eyes. And we're looking for the little piece of sawdust, if you remember what that talks about, the little piece of sawdust that is in somebody else's eye. We don't see this big plank 2x4 that's over our own eye. But remember why Jesus wants us to take the 2x4 out of our own eye first. You remember? It's so we can help our brother with the piece of sawdust in his eye. So the opportunity to be humble requires that we accept responsibility for sin, that we accept responsibility for things that we do wrong, and then we use the opportunities we have to help others. And that is the big difference with how we deal with responsibility. We're not going to try and put blame on other people. We're going to take it. If it's ours, we're going to deal with our own issues first, and then we help others deal with theirs. We don't ignore theirs, and we don't ignore ours. But we deal with ours first. Next, how do we deal with sin? How do these two groups deal with sin? The proud generally, we'll see this, confess their sins if they confess them at all, generally. But the humble will confess specific sins. And God convicts us of specific sins. God is never going to give you this feeling, oh, you are a bad person. That's from the devil. Here's what God will give you. You just lied to that person. That was just an act of pride. You need to go confess that now. You need to confess that to me right now. These feelings that we have, oh, I feel bad because I'm just this, you know, horrible person. No. God says, you talk to me, you confess your sins to me, and I'm faithful and just to forgive. But he wants us to acknowledge them. Here's what Jesus said in these verses, Luke 5, 31 through 32, about the righteous, those people who think that they don't have a problem. In verse 31, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So if you think there's nothing wrong with you, you don't turn to God. You don't turn to Jesus because of the pride. I'm good. Verse 32, he says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I'm not here to deal with those people who think they are righteous. I'm here to deal with those sinners. And if you go back to the Sermon on the Mount, you'll remember that Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn over their sin. And we saw that that meant not only mourn and confess about their personal sin, but mourn and confess the sins of their people. Mourn and confess the sins of their family. That's what Jesus said. If you do this, you are going to be approved of God because you have that humble spirit. So when we deal with sin, God says, don't be prideful. You need to acknowledge you need a Savior. That's step one of belief. Admit you're a sinner. That usually stops most people in their tracks. I'm okay. I'm not a sinner. God's Word said every one of us is. So we need to be able to acknowledge that and confess our need for a Savior. So how do we deal with the next one? Number six, disagreement and forgiveness. And Peter gives us the example on both of these in Matthew chapter 18, verse 22. But the proud wait for others to come to ask them for forgiveness. But the humble will go and ask for forgiveness. And you know, the humble will go and they'll be the peacemakers, even when they may not have been the real party to be at fault in the discord. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. We see this in Peter's example in Matthew 18. And Peter comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, and you got to understand, Peter is coming to him prideful. The Jewish tradition at that time was you forgive people three times. You heard third strike, you're out. Everybody heard that? That's where it came from, okay? So the tradition was you only had to forgive somebody three times. After that time, you're good. You don't have to forgive them anymore. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? See, Peter's like, oh, I'm not stuck with the three. I'm going to be super holy and I'm going to forgive them seven times. And here comes Jesus. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And Peter probably could do the math. He could probably figure it was 490. But he understood he wasn't saying just 490 times either. What's Jesus saying? You need to be willing to forgive as often as your Lord Father forgives you. How often have you sinned and the Lord forgives you? More than seven times? I bet. More than 490 times? I bet. We want to be forgiven each and every time we sin against God. And that's what Jesus is telling Peter we need to be willing to do to others. So put the pride aside. Those are the hardest words. Men, it's a hard word for me to say. I'm sorry or I was wrong Anybody else have that trouble? Okay. Wives are all pointing at the husbands, or boyfriends pointing at, you know. Okay. But if we're all honest, we all, and I bet you there's some women in here that would acknowledge that they have problems saying, I'm wrong too. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If God says you're wrong, go ask for forgiveness. The only person you're hurting when you don't forgive someone else is yourself. That it turns into bitterness. Now, Jesus said, look, if somebody assaults you because of me or persecutes you because of me, forgive them. Pray for them. So finally, how do these two groups, the proud and the humble, how do they deal with their walk with the Lord? Well, the proud do not think they need revival, but they know everyone else does. And the humble constantly want to draw closer to God. The proud think they've made it. I've arrived. I'm here. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a whatever. Okay? But the humble say, I still need to get closer to God every single day. And I can give you an example of this. Jesus Christ, you know, was God, but how often did he pray? Every day, morning, noon, night, Jesus was praying. And Paul understood this. Paul, in Philippians 3:12, he talks about this, and I want to give you the NIV translation because it captures the thought. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Paul says, I'm supposed to be more like Jesus Christ. I don't think I'm there. I'm going to keep going on and on and on and on until I get there. And he later tells us that I'm not going to get there till I see Jesus in heaven. So we need to always be willing to walk closer to God. We need to understand sometimes we do need revival. Sometimes we need, as we talked about Wednesday night, to talk to ourselves a little bit and encourage ourselves with God's Word. Sometimes we need to get on our knees in prayer. Sometimes we need to confess to God. Sometimes we need to confess to each other. Sometimes we need to say those dreaded words, I'm sorry, or I was wrong. So what God's calling us to do, He's calling us to take an honest look at our own lives and ask ourselves, am I living like a proud person or am I living a life of humility? Remember, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. If you're living a proud life, God is going to resist what you're doing out of pride. He's going to oppose you. You don't want Creator, God, Master of everything opposing you. You're going to lose that battle, I promise you. He gives grace to the humble. If you're willing to humble yourself before Him, put Him first in your life, all the other things will take care of themselves. The first step in humbling yourself before the Lord is accepting His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. If you have not done that, you're still living your way. You've not said, yes, Lord, I will live your way. I want to live your way. So during our time of invitation this morning, if you have not made the Lord Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, you need to do that. That is the first step of putting to death your self-will. Very tough thing to hear. But that is what has to happen. The Bible tells us that we need to kill the old self-willed man. We need to hang that man on a cross just like Jesus was hung on a cross. And we need to be able to live humbly like Jesus Christ lived. If you've not put yourself under His authority for everything, you need to do that today. If you have, look, we still get into pride troubles all the time. You know, people give us a bunch of compliments. Our head gets a little big, can't get through the door. Y'all know how this is. God will humble you. And we need to be appreciative of that. Sometimes it's very hard to be humbled. I didn't say hard to be humble. Hard to be humbled. But He's doing it for your benefit because He gives grace to the humble. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for these tough words this morning, for the tough mirror that you've given us. Pray that we would look into it, that we would look longing into it, that we would look at our lives and see if we're living the way you want us to live in all of these situations, if we're relying on you in humility, if we're loving others, if we're loving Jesus first, or are we being prideful? Father, I just pray that you open our hearts, that you give us the ability and the wisdom from your word to ask those hard questions. Father, I ask that you reveal your word to us, that you reveal the answers to those questions to us in all honesty. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has not yet made that humble decision to put pride aside, to put self-will aside, and to follow you, to treat you as Lord and Savior in their life, as Master and Savior in their life, I pray they do it today. Father, for those of us that have made that decision, I pray that you would humble us. Humble me if I get too proud, because I know that's in my best interest in the long run, Father, because it glorifies you in the long run. Father, we just praise you for Jesus, who had the humility to come, give up his throne, and to put himself on that cross for us. We praise you in his name. Amen.